Grab your Bible this morning. Turn over to James chapter 1 this morning. James chapter 1. And Trisha, I want to preach a message this morning. It's going to be out of character for Christmas because I like staying textual. I'm not going to do that this morning. And I don't want to turn into a deep Bible study, but I do want to talk to you. I know it's Christmas Day, and I'm not going to hold you long this morning. The famous last words, amen. And my daughters were behind me during the Sunday school hour a few moments ago. And I had an order of service, and of course, it showed everything we did. And at the very last of the order of service for Sunday school, it showed lesson, and I was the lesson. And so when I turned around, the last scripture was done, and the last special was done, I handed my order of service, and my two girls looked at me and said, "Dad, you're not doing a lesson, are you?" I just want you to know they get that from their mother, all right? But I said, "It's gonna be 5 minutes. You think you can handle that, amen?" So anyway, but they did. Stephanie, where's Sarah at? Oh, the rainforest in the back. All right, well, praise the Lord. Got your Bible, James 1, look at verse number 17. One verse of scripture. The Bible says this: "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." I want to read that again, if you get that in your mind for just a moment, for these moments that we have together. Verse 17 again: "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." That's the thought this morning I want to talk to, and it goes with Christmas, but God's gift to us. Now, I know you already said, I've got this figured out, but God's given us more than one gift, and I want to look at the God's gifts to us this morning in our morning service. Father in heaven, thank you again for the gifts you've given us. Lord, I ask you to please, as we look at these this morning, may we be more appreciative, Lord, for the free gift of eternal life and a host of other things that you've done for us. Father, bless this day and bless your people this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, I mean, Christmas oftentimes goes back to giving gifts to one another. All right, I don't know how many of you, we normally do our Christmas on Christmas Day. Now, this year we did not, obviously, because of church being on Sunday, so we did it yesterday. And the kids always look forward to that. We got around the Christmas tree, and no, I don't worship a Christmas tree, but anyway, got around the Christmas tree, and after we got there, we took out and went through the story of that we read this morning during Sunday school hour. We read last night and went through the Christmas story together. Then we prayed and thanked the Lord for the gifts that he's given us, as well as the gifts that we're able to give one another. And then Sarah last night, I think, was the one that started handing out the gifts, and then we would open those gifts. A person would receive their gift. They would look to the person who gave them that gift, thank them for that gift before opening it, and then open that gift that was given to them. And that's kind of our procedure every Christmas as far as giving gifts and of that sort. And it's always a joy to be able to do stuff like that and see what each other gave each other. And as my kids have gotten older, it's nice that they have their own jobs and they get to buy their own gifts. That's the real blessing of it all. And so that was nice. But, you know, I was just thinking about this Christmas season. Lord had given me this thought several weeks ago, if not months ago, about this idea of what is the gifts that God has given to us. And I know the first one that comes to your mind is Jesus Christ, and that is the first gift. In fact, the Bible tells in the book of Corinthians that to be thankful for the unspeakable gift. And that unspeakable gift is Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ would come and die for you and I so that we could go to heaven. And so I'm very thankful for that. And so this morning, I have several gifts up here, but these are not gifts for me to give to you. These are gifts that God has already given to us. And again, that first gift is the most important, and the gift of eternal life. I want you to, if you don't mind, I want to turn to a couple passages. And I know some of you have already counted how many gifts are behind me, and it's more than 3 points this morning. I'm just letting you know, all righty? Just get it out of your system, okay? We're going to go as quickly as we can. I want you to look at the verses, as some of them, but I'd like for you to look at some of the verses this morning about God's gift to us, all right? Now turn over to Romans chapter 5. Let me just point to you. But the last part of Romans chapter 5, it's very, very interesting. Look at verse 15. Romans 5, verse number 15. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense, through the offense of many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Church, you're going to notice verse number 15 through 18, the word gift is used 6 times. Brother Stumpfel, I need you to find out if you can get me some volume down just a little bit upstairs, if you don't mind, if you could take care of that for me. Is it a little loud to you?
All right, it's a little loud to me, all right? I know what they're doing. They're trying to get the water to stop is what they're doing. And so this morning, they'll get that taken care of. By the way, Ace, I'm glad you got your wife right with God. It's that, I've never seen her that close to the pulpit before, but it's just amazing what God has done in your marriage and leading her to the front like that. What a blessing. So anyway, I noticed that a few moments ago. I thought I'd tell everybody else how good it is that your wife is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Rachel. That much closer to the altar this morning. We won't be watching to see if you come, but I will be. Anyway, the first gift that we've been given is that gift of eternal life. Now, the verse that comes to your mind is Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Church family, we did nothing to get what we have. God gave us everything, all right? I don't know how you were, but we sat around the tree yesterday. The kids did not give a gift to somebody and say, oh, that'll be $10.95. It was free. And can I just tell you that God is the one that gave us a free gift, and it was Jesus Christ, his shed blood, so that you and I could go to heaven. I know that's an obvious one. If you're saved this morning, aren't you glad you got the gift? All righty. But that's not the only gift that God has given us. You need to give me a little more volume now. You took it all away. Thank you very much. The next gift that I want you to see is very, very interesting. And again, I'm not going to have you turn to the passages. I'll quote as much as I can. But I want you to notice that it's interesting that the Bible says that family's a gift. I never thought about this before. But think about Proverbs chapter number 19. The Bible says this. I can quote the verse. I hope I get the reference right. But it says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Isn't it interesting in Psalm 127, verse number 3, the Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his what? All right? Can I just tell you that the gift that God has given us, can I just tell you that those children that you have, you didn't choose to have them, God gave them to you. Amen. That wife that you have, that oftentimes we take for granted, that's a gift from God. Amen. And we sometimes fail to think about all the gifts that God has given us. And we look at our family, and church, I want to tell you, because we are so close to one another, we have a tendency to point out the bad in our family instead of looking at the good in our family. Okay, only two of us agree with that. It is so easy when you're living with somebody, whether it's a spouse or a sibling, it's so easy for you to pull out how bad a person is when you fail to understand that you didn't choose to have that sibling, you didn't choose to have that family member. God gave you that family member. Amen. I want to tell you what did not happen at the Christmas tree yesterday when we were around and everybody was giving gifts to one another. They didn't get a gift and say, oh, that's not what I wanted. That shouldn't happen, by the way. That's because gifts are gifts. I want to tell you what else didn't happen. I want to tell you when they sat around, they didn't say to themselves, I don't like that. Or I wish I'd have got another one. A person just took the gift and they looked at the person who gave the gift and they were thankful for the gift that they were given. Church, I want to just tell you, think about our text verse this morning. Every good gift, every good gift, and every perfect gift. That means complete. Did you know God knows exactly what you need in the completeness of your life? God knows exactly what you need. Amen. I wish I had another husband. I wish I had another wife. Wait a second here. That was a gift. Amen. What are you just going to tell God? I don't like your gift? You don't hand gifts back and say to yourself, I don't want it. You take that gift because of the person who's giving that gift. Watch me this morning. I just want you to understand you've been given more than just eternal life. The family that you have. Well, if my husband or if my children, and let me tell you something, everybody's going to have faults, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because of our human nature. But understand, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Father of lights is the person who created the sun, the moon, the stars. In whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. I don't know what you get from that verse, but this is what I get from that verse. If every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning, he's not taking the gift back. Amen. I'm thankful for eternal life. Guess what? We don't have the kind of salvation that if I don't live a good enough life, I lose it. That's right. I'm thankful that I still have it. Amen. I'm thankful for family. Something else that's very, very interesting. Again, trying to debate on how many scriptures to turn to this morning, but turn over to Ephesians 4. I could read these to you, but I want you to look at Ephesians 4. Many of you have seen this before, but it's very, very clear in scripture. Evangelists and pastors are a gift from God, believe it or not. Some of you are saying, I don't believe it. Let's look at the scripture. Ephesians chapter number 4. If you look at your Bible now, jump down to verse number 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, that was Jesus, he led captivity captive. Jesus gave gifts unto men. You'll notice there's a parenthesis at the beginning of verse number 9. There's a parenthesis at the end of verse number 10. Verse 9 and 10 just talks about the person who gave the gift. So if you'll read verse number 8 and it ends with, and gave gifts unto men, and you pick it up in verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. We have those no longer. But the reason we have no more apostles and prophets, in order to be an apostle, you had to be there at the time of Christ as far as his earthly ministry. In order to be a prophet, obviously, those things were foretold when we got the complete word of God. We no longer have a prophet who foretells because we have the complete word of God. All right? But look what we do have, these gifts that were given to men, and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Now, I want to just get you to think this morning. I'm looking at several gifts this morning. This is just one of them, and I'll take just as much time or less on this one as the rest of them. But I want you to understand, God's the one that gave the gift. And by the way, one day I won't be here. Somebody else will be here, and there'll be another pastor. This is not for you to love your pastor, because this church loves their pastor. And this church has gone far beyond my imagination as far as taking care of our family. I couldn't ask for anything else or anything more than what God's given me through the Heritage Baptist Church and his people. I am such a satisfied person, I can't explain how satisfied I am. But I will not go without saying that a gift that God gives to the church is evangelists and pastors. I know of preachers who will not have evangelists in because they think evangelists hurt the church. I just want to tell you that evangelists don't hurt the church because they're God's gift to the church. That's not the only gift God gave us. All right, several passages on this, and we won't turn to them all. But God gave you another gift. The Bible says the gift of the Holy Spirit. And praise God for that is right. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just, I mean, when Jesus Christ was about to ascend up into heaven, John 14 and John 16, Jesus goes into detail on why the Comforter, capital C, was being left behind. He says, disciples, I'm leaving you, but I'm going to leave you another Comforter. Now, in John 14 and 16, what's the Comforter do? He convicts us of our sin. In John 14 and 16, what does the Comforter do? He guides us. He teaches us. He comforts us. I want to tell you something. You better be thankful you got a Holy Spirit inside of you. Can I tell you what makes you different than a lost person? You have the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know a Christian can do anything wrong, and a Christian can do anything wrong that a lost person does, but a lost person doesn't have the conviction of the Holy Spirit for what he's doing wrong. That's a gift. When I was 11 years old, I could not comprehend then and still cannot completely comprehend now that the third head of the Godhead dwells within me. I mean, that's a gift that God saved your soul from hell, and then he gave you the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you, that when you open up the scriptures, the Bible says that he would lead us and teach us into all truth. Amen. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm thankful for his gifts. You know, it's a shame that there are kids that sometimes at Christmas time, if they don't get what they want, they throw a temper tantrum. I think sometimes we as Christians, we act like little kids, that we throw temper tantrums because we think that we should have got something else when God knows exactly what we need. Yeah, that's right. And he freely gave us eternal life through his son Jesus Christ. He gave us a family. He gave us evangelists and pastors. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And all of these were gifts that God has given to us. Instead, so many times we're so unappreciative of what God's given us. And, you know, Mike, not the word tradition, it's something that you teach. But from the time that they were the youngest to the age they are now, when we at Christmas time get together, I don't want them opening that present unless they acknowledge the person who gave it to them. You know what Christmas ought to do for us? It ought to cause us to acknowledge the God that gave them to us. God, thank you for your gifts. And I know the unspeakable gift, the greatest gift, is the day I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. But that's not the only gifts he's given us. There's another gift that God's given us. You're counting the boxes down, amen? Spiritual gifts. Now this one's kind of interesting, and I know all of these could be their own message, but I do want you to look at a couple of the passages, or a passage with me. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians with me, let's do Romans chapter 12. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is really the key passage for spiritual gifts, but I want you to look at just this one, Romans chapter number 12. I don't know what your spiritual gifts are, but the day you got saved, you got a gift or gifts that God gave to you to edify the body of Christ, to use those gifts for his honor and glory, all right? Look at Romans chapter 12, and let's just go ahead and pick it up in verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace, that's God's graciousness to us, the grace that is given to us, whether, first gift, prophecy, let us prophesy according to the prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. Church family, I don't have time to teach on the gifts this morning, but I believe that this prophecy is the idea of, according to the book of Revelation, that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. I believe that the spirit of prophecy, I think there are some people that can present the gospel clearer or better than others, but that's a spiritual gift in the sense, not church family, that doesn't excuse the fact that I don't tell people about Jesus Christ just because I don't have the gift of prophecy in the sense of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look what he says next, all right? If you're with me, say amen. Hey, church family, it is 11:05. Someone say amen. All right? I'm only going to be a little bit longer, all right? Having then gifts differing, verse 6, according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, verse number 7, or ministry. So, church family, there are people that I have met that you can just tell their gift is the gift of ministry, of serving. They're looking for things that they can do to help others. Look at the, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. I don't believe I got the gift of teaching. I wish I did have the gift of teaching. But there are certain people that they can impart knowledge so clearly. And you think to yourself, man, I could listen to that guy all day. In their teaching of the word of God or the teaching of knowledge, but that's a spiritual gift. Look at verse number 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. The word exhort means to urge by strong argument. It means to be able to encourage something to do something. And after you encourage them to do it, they want to do it. All right, that's exhortation. Look what else he says, another gift. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now, I wish all of you had that gift. Can you imagine to have the gift of giving? The gift of giving is a person who just sees a need, wants to fill it. Sees a person doing without, wants to help. All right, now listen to me, church family. Just because you don't have the gift of giving or exhortation or prophecy doesn't mean as a Christian you're not supposed to do those things. Hey, remember me saying a few weeks ago, and I've been, it has just been empowering, overcoming my mind on a regular basis, that the spiritual gift that God gives us is fueled by the spirituality of the person. In other words, you can't change the fact that the day you got saved, God gave you a spiritual gift to be able to edify the church. How come there's so many people we don't see their gifts being used? It's because there's no spirituality to fuel the gift. Me reading my Bible and spending time in prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit and all of those things of a spiritual nature, you put spiritual things in, you get spiritual things out. Of putting those things in is what fuels me to be able to use what God's given me to be able to edify God's body. Are you with me so far? Say amen. You say, well, I didn't ask for those gifts. Okay, let me remind you, every good gift and every perfect gift coming from above. God knows exactly what the perfect gift is for you. Oh, I just wish I had the gift of prophecy so that I could talk to people about Jesus Christ and they would just listen on the edge of their seat. I wish I had the gift of giving because I don't like giving, but I wish I had it. Do you understand that God knows what you need and he gave you the gift that you need because he can see both past, present, and future. And the day you got saved, he knew exactly what church you'd be in and what people you'd be involved with and what gift you needed in your life. There are some of you that I could actually go through and I'm not really good at reading a person's character. I wish I was. I've met people before that it seems like they can tell exactly what that person is. Not that they can see through them because nobody sees the heart except God, but there are a few of you that I have an opinion of what your spiritual gift is. I think sometimes it's evident. It's even more evident when a person's right with God because their gift is so exposed. But can I just tell you, if you're saved, you have a spiritual gift. Amen. I didn't mean to take so long on all. I wanted to just be short on all of these this morning. But I just want you to see that you've been given gifts. And you need to make sure that you're appreciative for the gift that God gave you. All right, the last gift. Now, there might be more in Scripture, but these are all that I know of. The last gift in Scripture. Okay, let's try that. I want you to look at, turn to church family. I'm just going to read the passage. Can you listen to this verse? Is that interesting? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Now, I'm gonna stop just, I guess I just want you to think about what he just got on saying. He says, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. When Paul's talking to Timothy, he says, the gift that was laid upon Timothy upon the laying on of the hands. Now, all I'm trying to get you to see, and without getting deep this morning, is this, is that God's calling on a person's life, whether it's missionary work, pastoral work, whether it's a teacher, whether it's just doing the will of God, those gifts are gifts that God gave you. The calling of God, remember we said at the beginning of this thing, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father of lights, of whom there is no shadow of turning. I'm sorry, in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning, which means God doesn't change his mind once he gives the good and perfect gift. Are you with me so far? If you go to other places in the New Testament, it says, the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. Repentance, what does the word repentance mean? A change of mind. You don't get older in your life and God says, I don't think I should have done that. God doesn't do that. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't change his mind because he gave you the family that you have, or because he gave you the pastor, the church that you're in, or because he gave you the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, or the spiritual gift for you to edify the body of Christ, or the calling of God upon your life. God didn't change that. Didn't change that. Stephen has gotten into getting a bunch of tools. He's always been that way. He wants to fix everything. I'm not sure how good that is, but he wants to fix everything. He's back there fixing those pipes. I can see it right now. We're in trouble. Anyway, Steve, I just thought in my mind about Stephen, but anyway, Stephen, I picked out a gift for Stephen for Christmas, and my wife said he doesn't need it and he won't use it. And I said, no, but I think he'll like it. And so we had this debate going back and forth on whether I should give him this gift. And I said, Stacey, I just think he'll like it. He might not need it, but I think he'll like it. He doesn't need it. He's got all these tools. He doesn't need it at all. He's not going to like it. I gave it to him anyway. He has a habit of collecting tools that are DeWalt, and this was a skill. I know it's a lesser brand probably, but a skill. But it was this little hand little thing, and it had all kinds of attachments to it that you could, you know, screw things in and fix things, but it was just a little, it was a handy tool. And I want to tell you why I gave it to him, okay? I liked it. I told my wife, I said, if we don't give it to him, I'm giving it to myself for Christmas. Because I wanted it. But I love Stephen, and because I liked it, I thought he would like it. Wrapped it up for Christmas. I think he liked it. I wish he wouldn't have, because I wanted it. Church family, you know what? I gave that to Stephen because I love him. I thought he would like it. Why is it that your Heavenly Father in heaven wants to give you a gift? Because he loves you. And he wants you to like it.
Amen.
You don't give a gift to somebody and think, well, I hope they hate this one.
That's good, Pastor.
I hope they can't stand it. Your Heavenly Father loves you, and he says, I want to give you a gift, and he says, I want you to use the gifts that I'm giving you. Do you feel me? The gift of the Holy Spirit is what keeps us right with him. What does he talk about in Ephesians 5? That we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God. And yet we quench the Spirit because of what we put in. Instead of putting good things in, we put the bad things in. And we quench the gift that God's given us. Amen. If you gave somebody a gift and they acted like they didn't want it, or they gave it, they said, I don't want it, you can have it back, you would never give them a gift again. I'm just telling you, God gave you gifts. You ought to be appreciative of those gifts.
Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
You know what today is? It's Christmas Day. We ought to thank the Lord that he came in the form of man to die for my sin. That family you have, oh, my family is weird, but it's the family God gave you. He must have known you're weird too.
Amen.
I ought to thank God for your family. David, I'm so glad you came this morning. It keeps going through my mind. I just want to say, I was thrilled seeing you next door at Sunday school. What a blessing. Your parents have been a blessing all these years. David grew up and went away, and I'm glad he's back today. It's good to see him.
Amen.
It's nice to see kids that grow up here and get to come back. Amen. Aren't you glad you got family?
Amen.
I'm thankful for family. I'm thankful that the Lord allows me to pastor you, but if I ever don't pastor here, I'll be in a church where I'll have a pastor, and that's the gift he's given me. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit every day of my life. He dwells inside of me. I'm thankful for the spiritual gifts he's given me. May I use them according to his purpose and plan. And I'm thankful for God's calling on my life. Church family, it's Christmas. We gave gifts to one another. Could you just take a few moments and ponder what God gave you? He didn't just give you salvation. He gave you all those other things too. You ought to be thankful for them. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, the person who created all of the world, sun, moon, and stars, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. He'll never take it back. I'm thankful for that. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Let's all stand to our feet. May this Christmas day just be a time to say thank you for the gift. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the gift. Heavenly Father, we again as a congregation, may we just pause for just a few moments and say thank you. God, thank you for the gifts, the daily gift. Lord, the eternal gift. God, thank you so much. Father, may we be appreciative as a congregation as well as a Christian. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.